Today we're in 1 Peter. We're going to finish up in chapter 2. Peter has been talking about who you are in Christ, and the logical outgrowth of that is how you live. In other words, there's a certain... Paul does the same type thing. He'll talk about who you are and then the behavior that is as expected as a result of that glorious new identity. So today we're talking about Christian submission. Now, submission is not a word that's in favor in this society, because when people talk about submission, they carry all this baggage of inferiority, okay? And it becomes a catchphrase. But actually, Jesus submitted to the Father, and He's in no way inferior to the Father. He's equal to the Father. If you don't believe that, you've got problems with your theology. Just because Jesus submitted to the Father doesn't mean that He's inferior to the Father. Just because the Holy Spirit does not glorify Himself, but He glorifies Christ, doesn't mean that He's inferior to Christ. Okay? Submission is a willing thing. If somebody has to force you into it, that's not submission, that's subjection. That's not what we're talking about. You put yourself under... It's a military term. You put yourself under the direction of another, all right? So Christians are to be submissive in certain areas of society. First of all, we are to be submissive to Christ, okay? He's the head. He's the head of the church. Therefore, he says, number one, we need to submit to government. Now, Some people want to rebel against government. We've had a lot of that lately. Submission to government is something that Christians are commanded to do. You say, well, I'm not going to submit to this particular governor. I'm not going to submit to this particular president. Remember, when Peter wrote this, the emperor was Nero. Okay? You can't really get any worse than that. But all government is instituted by God, and even a bad government is better than no government at all. Okay? So we are told in 1 Peter 2:13, therefore, okay, because even the evildoers are going to glorify God in the day of visitation because of your good works which they are minutely observing, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. All right? We're talking about the laws here. Now, there's a line. I mean, there is a point where if they start commanding you, you can't get baptized or you can't teach and preach in the name of Christ, you ought to obey God and rather than man. But if it's just a question of how high the water cooler is from the floor, okay, then we're to be the best citizens, okay? We're to be the best citizens. And so he says, therefore, submit yourselves. You need to start doing this. You need to do this decisively. To every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by Him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence, you may muzzle the ignorance of foolish men, as being free yet not using your liberty as a cover-up for wickedness, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. My daddy used to say, fear God, honor the queen, shoot straight and keep clean. I think that comes from the British Army, but he was never in the British Army, so I'm suspicious. He was a sailor. I can't figure this out. But we are to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man. If it doesn't, if they're saying, thou shalt not teach or preach anymore in the name of Jesus, or you can't pray on public property, I mean, how are they going to regulate that? You don't have to move your lips when you pray. There's prayer in every public school right before a test. You can pray. You can get baptized. You can share Christ. You can pray. They don't have the authority to put the Great Commission back in the tomb. He says, all authority is given me in heaven and earth. Therefore, disciple all the nations. Going, disciple all the nations, teaching them all things that I've commanded you. Baptizing in the authority of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you. He says, I with you am. There's no safer place to be. You know, I am is the name of God. He says, I with you am until the end of the age. Same thing that he told Moses, I'll be with you. Moses didn't want to go back down to Egypt. He said he never was good at public speaking. So God said, okay, I'll give you Aaron. Does Aaron ever say anything? He says, well, golly gee, you just threw these jewels into the fire and this calf jumped out. That's the only thing I heard, yeah. Moses talks for chapters. So I think that's just a bunch of kosher stuff right there. He says, I'm not good at public speaking. He's just trying to get out of it. Lord, send somebody else. God said, I will be with you. He said, well, tell me your name. He says, I am that I am. Here he says, I with you am until the end of the age. Well, what's going to happen at the end of the age? He's going to come back. But he's with us in the power of the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Christ. He's with us up close and personal in the person of the Holy Spirit until he comes back in person at the end of this age. He says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. This is submission. You've got to do it. You submit yourselves, okay? For Christians, this is not optional. We should be the best citizens. Even that beast Stalin, who at last count killed 50 million of his own people and worked hundreds of thousands of Christians to death building the Love Canal, when he was attacked by his fellow socialist, Hitler, he started bringing the Christians out of the prison. And they asked him why he was bringing the Christians out of the prisons. He says, because this is war and they're the best workers we've got. Even he understood it. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, not because they deserve it, not because you like them or because you voted for them, for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, and he's talking about the emperor of Rome now, or to governors. Now, they're put in place by the Roman Senate. The governor of North Carolina is elected by the people. Or to governors as those who are sent by him. Who's him? God. Well, yeah, yeah. He sent by him, that would be the last. Well, no, governors are plural. Him is singular, probably the king. But see, the king is instituted by God. He raises up Nebuchadnezzar. There is no authority except that which has been allowed by God. He says, and they're sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. So the law enforcement officials, if you actually, you know, if you do something good, if you rescue somebody from a burning car, okay, I was witnessing to a guy named Joe. He was from Massachusetts, but I didn't hold that against him. He was driving on the interstate, and a car that had been set on cruise control hit him from behind. And he bucked forward, and this car went over the side and went down off the interstate, ran into a bunch of trees. Joe stopped. There was a family in that car. They had been going from Florida up to a funeral, okay? And there was an aunt in the back seat, and there was a guy who was driving belted in. I'm witnessing to Joe. We're up at Gettysburg, and I'm trying to witness to him in camp. And he was telling me the story. That car was on fire, and he was cutting the seat belts and pulling these people out to safety. He couldn't get to the aunt. She was engulfed in flames. So he was pulling this guy out who had fallen asleep. He was trying to go back into the car, and Joe was trying to keep him out before the thing exploded. Okay? And this is the guy I'm trying to witness to. He had saved several people. Okay? The law enforcement are going to praise you for doing things like that. But if you do something dumb without a B, they're going to punish you. All right? I don't care if I'm holding a stuffed Mickey Mouse. If he says drop it, I'm drying my fingernails. Okay? Or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. These are the ones who are going to praise God in the day of visitation in the context. They say the Christians are, they make fun of Christians. And then one wonders, what has Christ done to them? He gives sends his rain on the just and the unjust. He gives the breath that they're using to curse him and make fun of him. Okay? He died on the cross for their sins. And they're dragging his name in the dirt. But he said on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That by doing good, you may squelch, you may muzzle the ignorance of foolish men. As free, you're free, but you're not using your liberty as a cover up for vice. You're not using your liberty as a cloak for wickedness, but as bond servants of God. Okay, the police were doing a sting operation. They were pretending to be underage boys and underage girls, and they started soliciting these men started soliciting them, and they set up one appointment, and the guy who shows up to have an affair with a 14-year-old boy, he goes to the motel. You know, they've set this thing up online. And imagine what it was like when a pastor came into a room full of law enforcement officials. It was embarrassing, to say the least. You don't use your freedom as a cover-up for wickedness, okay? But as bond slaves of God, bond servants of God. That means you're staying with him through thick and thin, for better and for worse. You are going to stay with him even though he set you free as bond servants of God. Honor all, Okay? Give honor to whom it's due, Paul would say in Romans. Honor all. Okay? Love the brotherhood. He's talking about Christians now. Fear God. Fear God. Now, some people say that's a healthy respect. Well, it's the word that you get phobia from, phobeo, phobeomai. I have more than a healthy respect for somebody can hold 1,000 billion galaxies in his hand and shake it all. Okay? He's much bigger than this pale blue dot. Okay? He's not the man upstairs. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the one who can shake heaven and earth. Okay? An angel can destroy a city, and the angels tremble at his name. I'm talking about the fallen angels, the demons. Fear God, honor the king. So he comes back around, and the king in this context would be Nero, Caesar. Honor the king. And it's a continuous verb, keep honoring the king. All right, so number one, we need to be submissive to government. Number two, we need to be submissive to our own bosses. All right. He says, servants. Now, the word there is oiketai. These are people who work in a household. We're talking of an extended household, probably a home industry situation. Okay. It says, servants, go on being submissive to your masters with all fear. Now, this is the same word he just said, fear God. All right. Keep on being submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the scolios. Scoliosis. It means twisted, perverse, surly. These are the ones who usually drive around on 540. Yeah, and they fly in little coveys. I call it a flock of idiocy. And you know, everybody's driving the speed limit, but these people are driving 30 miles over the speed limit, and there's never just one, and you can see them. Yeah, and they've got the same look on their face, and they all, you know, and they're passing trucks on the right, and you're saying, Lord, get them down the road. So, you know. He says, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle. See, some bosses are nice, and it's easy to be submissive to them. But he says, but also to the harsh. Also to the crooked, also to the surly. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. What credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Now, Peter had suffered both ways. He had suffered because he betrayed Christ. They all forsook Christ and fled, not just Peter. Judas betrayed him, but Peter denied him three times. Now, he was going to pull out his little tin sword and he was going to fight for Jesus. And he wound up running from a milkmaid before it was over. And the rooster crowed, and Peter wept bitterly. Yeah, he was broken. You can't serve God in the flesh with your little tin sword. And Jesus said, put that thing up. Put your sword into its sheath. Okay, but Peter was ready to fight for Jesus. But Jesus said to Peter, he said, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith would not collapse. When you are converted, strengthen the brethren. And that's exactly what he does at Pentecost. That's exactly what he's doing here. Peter has suffered for his faults, but now he's about to suffer for doing good at the hands of Nero. He is going to die in 67 AD in the Neronic persecution. He's not going to get out of this. But then he is mature. He's the great preacher of Pentecost, and he says, be girded about with humility. He's teaching the church. He's the great apostle to the Jews. And Nero is going to have him killed for doing good. But that just means great is his reward in heaven. He says, what good is it? What credit is it if you're beaten for your faults? You take it patiently. You know, you do something bad and you're beaten for it. There's no credit to God. It's not commendable before God. You're just getting what you had coming. But, he says, if you are beaten for your faults, if you do good, if you take it patiently, if you're suffering, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called. Now, the question here is, to what were you called? Okay, but it's more than that in this context. Suffering. For this you were called. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. He said, if I had not come into the world, they would not have sinned. But now they have hated me and my Father. Okay? He says, if they hated me, they will also hate you. He said, you will be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, you're not going to hear the prosperity gospel people preach on that verse. But what does he mean? I think he means you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And you go into the the chat after a news article and you look, Satan's got his evangelists. And they're out there and they're making fun of the Christians and they're making fun of God and all that. I can't read much of it. But it's exactly what Jesus said would happen. These people think that they're overthrowing God. They're only fulfilling the prophecies. Because Jesus said this was going to happen. And he doesn't miss much. He says, for this you were called. If you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable for God. For you were called to this. It's part of the calling. All right? Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. And in the majority text, in the Egyptian text, it says, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Well, his steps led him to the cross, but now he's conquered death. He's conquered sin. He's conquered the devil. But he was matured through suffering. And we don't expect to suffer. Because we belong to him. Where are they getting that? Where are they getting this? If you belong to Christ, you're going to go first class and you're never going to suffer. They're not getting it from the Scripture. He says, Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. And then he quotes Isaiah 53:9, who committed no sin, nor was deceit, trickery, a hidden agenda, a hook, nor was deceit found in his mouth. He suffered righteously. He never did anything wrong. He never did anything to deserve it, yet he suffered. We follow him, we suffer. That's what Peter's saying. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to the one who judges righteously. Now, I like Paul. I don't get down on Paul much, but there's one time when the high priest's servant slapped Paul. It was in the book of Acts. Paul said, God will smite you, you whitewashed wall. And they said, are you talking to the Lord's high priest in such a fashion? And you know what he did? He apologized. He says, I'm sorry, my brothers. I did not realize that he was the high priest. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of the leader of your people. Now, his theology is correct. God is the one who's going to judge, okay? But he called him a name. He called him a whitewashed wall. Well, Jesus called him things like that too, but he was more sanctified in the way he did it. He didn't have to eat his words. When they slapped Jesus, okay, the high priest's people, or Herod's people, I don't remember now, but when they slapped Jesus, what did he say? If I have done wrong, bear witness of the wrong. In other words, if I've done wrong, you need to have two or three witnesses who agree, and you need to bring formal charges. I'm putting this in the Jewish context, all right? But if I have done well, why did you just hit me? Now, what he's doing, he's turning the other cheek. We're not talking about national defense there. We're not talking about self-defense. We're talking about a slap of insult. And when you turn the other cheek, you're opening yourself to be insulted again, but you're acting in such a way as to make that person accountable to himself for what he's just done. Jesus said, if I have done wrong, bear witness of the wrong. If I've done well, why did you just strike me? You see what he's doing? He's turning the responsibility on that guy. He's making him responsible for his actions. He slapped Jesus. Okay, if Jesus has committed a sin under the law, they need to have two or three witnesses, or they're not following the law themselves, right? This guy needs to be accountable to his high priest for what he just did. He's not acting righteously. He's slapping Jesus, but Jesus has just done good. I've read that in the Jewish Encyclopedia. I've looked up Jesus in the Jewish Encyclopedia, and they talk about, you know, he was known as a rabbi, and he went around doing good. They don't like him, but there's no reason why they shouldn't like him. If you ask somebody, you know, well, why do you hate Jesus? What specifically did he do to make you hate him? They can't tell you. The reason is he never did anything wrong. The guy who slapped him couldn't say anything. They just didn't like him. It's like that old poem, I do not like thee, Dr. Fell. The reason why I cannot tell, but this I know and know full well. I do not like thee, Dr. Fell. When he was reviled, he did not revile back. He did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. He said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And that's when he was dying on the cross. Who bore by himself, and if you write in your Bible, you can underline that himself because this is emphatic. Who bore himself our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. I think it's Isaiah 53:5. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Now, sheep aren't particularly smart. And they tend to be smelly, and they tend to follow one another into places where they shouldn't go. And a shepherd in the Holy Land, if you watch them, a sheep, if it loses its footing, it falls over and its feet stick up and it starts bleeding and it cannot get itself back up. That's called a cast sheep. And so you don't want to walk all the sheep on the same path, because they'll wear out the path. There's so many of them going along the same path. And once a rock falls out of the way, the path gets narrow and some sheep stumbles and you start getting these cast sheep. So the shepherds will allow the sheep to fan out. And you'll see the sheep going along like 12 little paths. Okay, and these are called paths of righteousness. He leads us along the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Okay. And if you drive around in the Holy Land and you look up on the sides of the hill, you'll see these fans. You'll see the marks on the hillsides, because that's where the sheep go. And the shepherds allow them to do that because they don't get cast. They don't fall over. He says, you were like sheep going astray. Well, that's one of the things sheep do. But you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And that word souls, it's part for the whole. He's not just talking about the immaterial part of you. He's talking about your whole life. The shepherd and overseer of your souls. The guardian of your souls. Okay, so you were once going astray. He's talking to his readers, but you've now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So what do we do as a result of this? Well, number one, we are submissive to government. We should be the best citizens possible, and our actions should bring us praise from the government officials. Okay? Unless they start commanding us not to teach or preach in this name, or things that violate the law of God, the Great Commission, then we obey God, not man. But until that point, we need to be the best citizens. All right? This is a good witness, too, by the way. You rescue somebody, and you might have a chance to witness the law enforcement officer. If you do good, you're going to have a good testimony among those people. Number two, we need to submit to those who are in authority over us in the workplace, and that is respectfully and diligently, and it does not hinge on whether they're good and gentle or not. It hinges on the fact that God told us to do this. All right, and we don't just obey the ones who are nice to us either. Okay. Number three, we need to follow Christ's example of submission, even if it leads us to suffering, even if it leads us to the cross. We're not taking up His cross daily and following Him. We can't. His cross is too heavy. We take up our cross daily. And to take up the cross, it's not a piece of jewelry, people. It's an instrument of torture. It means you can't kill me, I'm already dead. Okay, we should have been on that cross because of our sins. But we're not on that cross because of His righteousness. So, we take up our cross daily, that means dying to self. That means putting ourselves on the back burner and putting the needs of others on the front burner. Okay? Even if it hurts, we need to do this. Okay? That by doing good, you may muzzle the ignorance of foolish men. Foolish men, unthinking men, rash men. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Those are the people for whom Christ died. They are Satan's prisoners of war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. Your enemy is the one pulling their strings. And Jesus has come to cut the string. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for Peter's ministry. I thank you that he was faithful unto death. He stumbled so many times, but we all take heart in that because we saw how much Christ loved him. And he did remain faithful. And so did Paul, and so did John, so did Mary Magdalene. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that you have not only called us, but you have empowered us to live up to your high standard. Help us to walk in the Spirit and to please you. Help us to be the savor of life unto life. And if we stumble, help us to recover quickly, to find mercy from our great high priest, to repent, to be filled with the Spirit, and to step out in faith. This week, in Jesus' name, amen.